If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
Ready to pop the question? Let your love sparkle with Blue Nile. Blue Nile has helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. Their easy online tools will let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's Bench Jewelers will then handcraft her one-of-a-kind engagement ring, the perfect ring to celebrate your love. Right now, go to BlueNile.com and use code RADIO to save $50 on your purchase of $500 or more with guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, hour number 4 of our radio program, Quattro, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. It's time to do a little Week 9 recap, overreaction, or proper reaction.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying?
No. And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All right, what do we got today?
Well, Zach, Colts have been in the news a lot these last 24 hours for their firing of Frank Reich.
Dun, 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 dun. It's been a bad last 2 days for you.
Really the whole season, but yes, especially the last two days or so.
Yeah, but it really didn't hit you until 2 weeks ago that this team wasn't as good as what you thought they could be, and you were sulking around the office the last 2 days. You look like a sad puppy dog. I saw Denny before the show, who does a great job as a custodian around here, and he goes, "You think Ryan is all right? He looks really sad. Like, what's up with him?" I go, "Oh, it's his football team, the Indianapolis Colts. Let him down once again.
The belief sucked the life out of me. What do you want me to do? Made it worse. I wish I went into the season with no hope."
When do they earn your trust back? Because last year was bad for you. Last year we really clowned you. This year I kind of saw your optimism. Not that they would ever be a Super Bowl team. Their apex would be winning the AFC South and being one and done in the postseason. But it made sense because they upgraded what we thought at quarterback. On paper, they have a good offensive line. You had Jonathan Taylor. On paper, you had a good defense. Not that anyone thought this was going to be a really good team. But with that being said, the Titans got rid of A.J. Brown. Henry coming off an injury, which was never a concern for me. But Ryan Tannehill's still the quarterback. As Hickey just slammed his hand down on the board as I'm setting this up for him. But when do they get your trust back? Because you're usually very quick to forgive the Colts.
I'll give you two answers. For a realistic fan, I would say like 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
You know, you're going to have to get the right quarterback. You're going to have to get the right head coach.
Okay, that's the realistic answer.
Maybe GM. Like, that's going to take time.
Stop the realistic bull crap and the politically correct answer. I need the crazy hot take, Hickey.
May 1st.
Oh, you're a...
I got to see who the head coach is, if
you're
I like
it
or not. And who
you
they pick in the draft. Oh, I'll tell you this right now. I will be hyping
up. I'm surprised. You're a sucker.
Now, it depends who they draft.
They should have to make the playoffs for you to ever believe in them again.
Well, can we just play fantasy world? Let me kind of live in a fantasy, I guess, world for one second.
Yeah, torture me. Go ahead.
If this is not going to happen, but again, it's a fake world. If they get Sean Payton and Bryce Young, let's just say, as their head coach quarterback, I'm in.
Why would Sean Payton touch that team?
I said I'm living in a fantasy world. Like, I will, I am in. I think I have every
You're
reason to
Neville, kid.
Right away. If it's Jim Harbaugh and Hendon Hooker.
Wait, who'd you say? Sean Payton and who?
Bryce Young.
Oh, okay.
I would be in. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I would take the bait. If we're talking about, I don't know, let's just, Nathaniel Hackett's twin, whoever that might be this offseason, and like Will
Frank
Levis.
Bryce.
I promise I will not be bought in.
Well, you're not going to get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud.
Probably not.
Because the Panthers and Lions will be worse than you.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe they'll trade up. I don't know. I can't predict what's going to happen.
They're 1-2.
I don't know. Who's
the Texans
going to.
Too. Those three teams.
Maybe the Texans say
one of those two teams are going to have to be 1, 2, and 3. One of those two teams are going to have to be somewhere in the top three, and I have a tough time thinking that whoever's picking 1, 2, and 3 this year in the draft, and there's only going to be two quarterbacks that are a lot of people consider must have right now in Stroud, and then Bryce Young, and I prefer Bryce Young over Stroud. Those teams ain't going to pass up those quarterbacks.
I would agree.
So like look at the bottom feeders right now. Commanders 4 and 5, they're not going to be picking in the top three. Cardinals 3 and 6, they have a quarterback, they're not going to be picking in the top three. Lions 2 and 6, they could be picking in the top three. Panthers 2 and 7, they could be picking in the top three. No one in the AFC East. Raiders, they could be picking in the top three.
They have a worse record right now than the Colts.
Steelers, if they're picking the top three, they don't need a quarterback. And the Texans will be picking in the top three. You won't be picking in the top three. You'd have to get like a team at 2 that doesn't need a quarterback that then you could trade with. But then why would the team just from 3 move up to 2 if that's going to be the case?
So. I would agree. I would probably say right now 7 is the feeling
you're
I get.
You're going to get...
I have a name.
A Hendon Hooker. You're going to get a Will Levis, an Anthony Richardson. One of those guys. Why? Who's your name?
We're still living in a fantasy world. But I think it's somewhat real, possible. Trey Lance. I'm in. 49ers going to run.
How much you going to have to trade up to get Trey Lance? You're going to have to give him at least the first round pick. I know he hasn't proven anything, but if I'm the 49ers, I'm not giving up Trey Lance, who I just traded all that draft capital to get. I don't see why the... Your brain is really in a messed up place.
Well, I mean, look...
You're in a desperate place.
I mean, this was brought up on the show before when Trey Lance got hurt in the first place, and this is going to be now going on year 3 of not playing football.
Jimmy G's going to have to win a Super Bowl.
You have...
Peter King said this. Jimmy G's going to have to win a Super Bowl for them think of moving off of Trey Lance.
What about Tom Brady?
I throw that out there. Peter King told me no shot. I thought Tom Brady was a good guess, a good outside-the-box kind of idea. Was told no for the 49ers. Are you talking about the Colts?
Aaron Rodgers.
Wait, are you talking about Brady for the Colts?
No. Uh-huh. I'm talking about replacements at the quarterback for the 49ers would have them move off of Trey Lance.
Why would you get Aaron Rodgers?
No, I'm not Aaron Rodgers to the 49ers.
Why?
Aaron Rodgers goes to the 49ers. And they got to get rid of Trey Lance.
The Packers aren't trading Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
they're not. You're already sniffing.
Actually,
glue
I might
in
make
this
the
Colts
argument
offseason
that you probably should trade Aaron Rodgers at this point.
Why? You just locked him up in a contract. His dead cap next year is $100 million.
Well, that's if you trade him after June 1, it's like $19 million. So
you know,
it could
be
manageable.
The Colts quarterback next year, Jordan Love. Could be your quarterback next year, Jordan Love. You guys reportedly wanted him.
I'm not in that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go. Let's
so
get
speaking
to the
of the Colts.
Before we play the role of Hickey's therapist, when he sits on the couch as he's tossing a ball up into the air, can I get Aaron Rodgers? Trey Lance?
No, I'm realistic to tell you that they are not a quarterback away. So Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers would not help this team.
You're never realistic with the Colts. You just said you're going to buy in on May 1st.
Yeah, if they have Sean Payton and Bryce Young, I'm
Jim
in.
Jim Irsay is the head clown of the circus. You're the vice president in terms of the clowns that support the Colts.
May 1st, if you have Bryce Young, Sean Payton, I am in. If
someone
not,
photoshopped
long way to
me
go.
A photo of Hickey with a clown nose on his face with blue and white face paint. Because you are one
That's
of the lead
very nice.
Clowns of the Colts. Just the truth. I live in a reality world. You live in an Evan Neverland world.
Well, I told you that in confidence. I said I'm in a fantasy world. So I already know it's not going to happen. But what is reality right now is the Colts just being a total mess. So overreaction or prop reaction, Zach. The Colts right now are currently the most dysfunctional organization in the league.
Overreaction. As much as I like to clown the Colts, as much as I can't stand Jim Irsay, you still have a team by the name of the Washington Commanders in this league. The Commanders don't even have a fan base anymore because Dan Snyder made all those fans not want to show up to games because of his incompetence. Now, there could be a light at the end of the tunnel. And last time I checked, too, the Detroit Lions still play in the NFL. As bad as it is for the Colts, Lions fans and Commanders fans would like to be the Indianapolis Colts. Texans are pretty dysfunctional, too. They let Jack Easterby control the organization.
They did. Now they got rid of him. So, hey, maybe they're turning the corner.
They're trending in the right direction.
Doing something right. That is for sure. So, NFL Savoy have two fired coaches in season. Matt Rule of the Panthers. And as we know earlier this week, Frank Reich of the Colts.
Formally.
Looking ahead, overreaction or proper reaction, Nathaniel Hackett is the most likely coach to be fired next.
In season, you're saying?
I guess, yeah, because Black Monday, whether it's at 8:05 or 8:10, that's semantics. So we'll say in season, next head coach to get fired is Nathaniel Hackett.
Proper reaction. They've had to give him too much of an endorsement for a first-year head coach. Usually when you have to get those endorsements, that means you're not going to last that much longer.
Very fair. All right, let's go to some good players. We talked a lot about bad coaches and bad teams.
Yeah, let's move away from the Colts.
Overreaction or proper reaction, Tua Tagovailoa right now is a top three MVP candidate.
Ooh, great question. Oh, wow. So Mahomes is in the conversation. Josh Allen's in the conversation. We'll see what happens with his injury. Other than that, Lamar is in the conversation, but they got to win more games. Jalen Hurts is in the conversation. How about this one? Should I say it? Is Geno Smith in the conversation?
I don't see why not, right? I mean, on the low end, but I think he's in the conversation.
If it was top five, I would say proper reaction. Right now, I would still say Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and Jalen Hurts. But he's close. He's really close.
Speaking of good offense, Zach, the Bengals had one of the best games of the
season. Hey,
well,
by the way, real quickly. Yes. I meant to bring this up earlier. Sorry to cut you off. Geno Smith, we were talking about him yesterday. And
for comeback player of the year.
Yeah, for comeback player of the year. I had a name thrown out me today for comeback player of the year that I didn't even think about. Now, remember, comeback player of the year is very ambiguous on the standards. You can have a bad year, then play well. You could be hurt, then play well. Is Tua in the conversation for comeback player of the year? I've never thought about that until I was asked about it today. I was having a conversation with a friend, and he goes, who do you think wins comeback player of the year? I said, right now I'd lean Geno. If not Geno, it's Saquon Barkley. He goes, how about Tua Tagovailoa, who did play in 13 games last year?
That is really interesting. That's... I guess you're right. There's no actual criteria. It's not injury only.
Now, here's the thing. I went to one of the websites. Not even odds out there for it. Tua Tagovailoa. Like, you go back to the 2022 Comeback Player of the Year odds right now. Geno Smith, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Nick Gates, Travis Etienne, Daniel Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jameis Winston, there's still odds on. Sheesh. DeAndre Hopkins, Marcus Mariota, Raheem Mostert, J.J. Watt, Carl Lawson, Cam Akers, Chris Godwin, Danielle Hunter, Marcus Peters. Those are odds as of this morning. No Tua.
Does that mean that he's not eligible? I know you just said it's
everyone's eligible.
I know. I don't know how he can. Like, you're talking about Cam Akers is not even active on a roster right now. We're talking about comeback player of the year.
And I'm looking at another book. Not listed Tua. Now, if I Google Tua Tagovailoa comeback player of the year odds, let's see if anything comes up. Offensive player of the year, MVP. Maybe he's playing so well they don't even consider him for comeback player of the year.
That or maybe he didn't play
bad enough.
But Geno's
MVP odds.
Like, he wasn't awful last year. That's also part of it. Like, he got banged up. The offense not very good. Like, it's like he was just bad. He wasn't like Baker Mayfield last year bad or...
Fair, but he wasn't good.
Geno Smith bad last year.
Guy had 16 touchdowns and 10 interceptions.
I think he played too well last year.
I guess. But I wouldn't say he had a good year last year.
But I guess they must think you have to be really, really, really bad and then have a bounce back year, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't even contemplate the name until it was thrown out there. Anyway, continue.
Bengals scored 42 points. Joe Mixon had himself a day. 5 total touchdowns. Overreaction or proper reaction, Zach? The Bengals offense, they are back.
After a game against the Carolina Panthers, That's what we're basing that off of?
Yes, sir.
I like the Bengals. I think the Bengals will be a good team. I think they'll be a playoff team, but they still got to show me more consistency before I say they're back. So that's an overreaction. Remember, this is a team that just scored 13 points a week ago against the Cleveland Browns. Bailey Zappi had success against the Cleveland Browns defense. It's too much hot, cold, so I'm not ready to say that they're back. I believe in them, but not ready yet.
All right, two more quickly here. Overreaction or proper reaction? The Jets have the best defense in the NFL.
I think that's a proper reaction. And I never thought I would say that before the year, but they just embarrassed the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills had a 14-3 lead. Yeah.
That they did. And finally, we saw the Titans lose the game in overtime on the road to the Chiefs.
And real quickly, just because I'm thinking about this in the moment, what makes the Jets defense even more impressive is that the offense has not always been consistent. You had Joe Flacco. You had Mike White. Zach Wilson's now back. He's had a few turnovers. That offense hasn't even hit their stride yet. And it puts the defense sometimes in a tough spot, and the defense is still that good. So, yeah, I would say that the Jets right now are the best defense in the NFL.
And finally, overreaction or proper reaction? Mike Vrabel gets the most out of his team than any coach in the NFL.
Whew. You know me. I love Vrabes. I think Vrabes is a top five coach in this league. I said that before the start of the season. He's got Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis as his quarterback. And maybe Malik Willis turns into something, but you can't have him throw the football right now 25 times a game.
And they had five completions on Sunday against the Chiefs and lost in overtime. It's impressive.
Is there a coach that gets more out of their team than Mike Vrabel? Oh, wow. Daboll right now. But Daboll, I have to give the tiebreaker to Vrabel because there's more sustained success. Daboll's only been a coach for 8 games. Pete Carroll, he's in there as well. That team is 6-3. But he didn't get the most out of his team the last 2 years. Now, that could be chalked up to Russell Wilson. Yeah, it would be Vrabel. But the other ones that you consider for this year, Daboll and then Mr. Carroll. That's all we got.
All we got.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, if you had to pick between 12 teams or 4 teams for the college football playoff, what would you choose? We will update you on the poll question when we return in 5 minutes. And also, a little nugget from a former Alabama player on the future of one Nick Saban.
If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month. This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Just to give you a quick update on the poll question this evening, if you had to pick between 4 teams or 12 teams for the college football playoff, what would you do? You could find those results at Zach Gelb on Twitter, also at CBS Sports Radio. 81% still say 12-team playoff, 19% say a 4-team playoff, and I vehemently disagree when it comes to the 12-team playoff format. I don't like to reward losing. What makes college football so much fun is that every game matters. Think about what we just saw this past weekend if you went to 12 teams. Clemson losing to Notre Dame and getting blown out, they'd still get in a 12-team playoff. You take a glance at Michigan, Ohio State at the end of the weekend or at the end of the month, loser of that game is going to be on the outside looking in a 4-team format. You go to 12, takes away from the significance of that game. A team like Alabama, who has two losses now and is not a playoff team, they would get in a 12-team format. So that, to me, is why I'm not a proponent of expansion. I know people are going to tell me, oh, well, in the NFL, there's 7 teams. In the NBA, you got 8 teams that get in, and then you have playing games before that. Okay. Professional sports, you got more games in play. But when it comes to college football, I've never had a year where I have had to scream, man, bunch of teams got screwed. There's rarely a debate on 4. And the reason why we're having this conversation, because if you want to tell me 6, if you want to tell me 8, and I understand expansion is inevitably coming. There was already that report in the beginning of the year that it's going to be a 12-team playoff, and that's where we're having this debate for 12. That it would be a 12-team playoff, and that could happen even sooner than 2026. That, to me, that drastic jump to 12, I don't need to see Clemson, Alabama, those teams in when they're just not deserving. And right now, it's still early. So if you look at the top 12 teams in the nation, the most in the top 12 that a team has in loss is Alabama, that's in at 9 with 2 losses, and LSU, who's moved up to 7 with 2 losses as well. Eventually, the Pac-12 is going to even itself out. You know, teams are going to lose when you have USC and UCLA and Oregon all having 1 loss apiece. For the Big 12, it is TCU or bust. But I don't think there's going to be a need. And this year, it's more open than ever. I don't think there's going to be a need at the end of the year where we're screaming, wow, this team got screwed, that team got screwed, and we need to go to 12. You could maybe say, okay, go to 6. You could maybe tell me go to 8. And I've said before, if they were going to expand, 8's the right number. Power 5, conference champs, 1 group of 5, and then 2 wild card spots. But to go to 12, it's just not necessary. Think about it. Like, these would be the teams that would still be alive if there was a 12-team playoff this year. Utah, Penn State, North Carolina, NC State, Texas, Kansas State, Notre Dame. Teams already have too many losses. So we have to then extend the thought of those teams getting in when they clearly have shown you not. And I know people are going to tell me, because LSU is going to be the sexy one. Well, what happens if LSU wins the SEC championship game? Then don't lose to Florida State to start off the year. Because you could get 1 loss and still make it in. You don't usually get 2. And no one's ever got 2. And for LSU, who already has 2 losses, if they win the SEC, it'd be a great accomplishment for Brian Kelly. But the only one they have to blame is then themselves, because they lost to Florida State in the beginning of the year. They got blown out against Tennessee. Now, give them credit. They crushed Ole Miss in a game that I thought they would win. And then a game I thought they'd keep it close but lose, they beat Alabama. But Ole Miss and Alabama were a little bit overrated. Good to see LSU take advantage of them. They should beat Arkansas. They should beat UAB. They should beat A&M. And then if they're in the SEC title game and they win, yeah, it's going to be a conversation. We'll see if they get in and become the first two-loss team, but if they don't get in, it's a simple justification. Don't lose to Florida State before the year, because if they would have not lost to Florida State, lose to Tennessee the way they do, and then they win out from there, they'd be in as a one-loss SEC champ. They would easily be in. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm just not wanting to go to 12 teams. And I don't think there's been a year where at four teams we ever said, wow, I need more teams. And if your only argument's going to be LSU, and if that's going to be the one big one, LSU, for one team, we then need to go from 4 to 12? That doesn't really make sense to me when you add it all up. Well, it's clear that Nick Saban's not going to be going to the college football playoff this year. They have two losses. Here is Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, on Jocks FM, where he hosts a morning show, saying he thinks NIL will eventually drive Nick Saban out of college football. Listen up.
I think NIL in the current world of college football will inevitably push him away. I think he'd coach until he's 100 if it weren't for NIL.
How close do you think he is with the current state of what's seemingly going on in Tuscaloosa?
I don't think it'd be fair to speculate, but I would probably say close as he's ever been. I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to go this year. They still have a really good recruiting class coming in, and I think he needs a staff shakeup for sure, and I think he needs some guys on the staff badly that are from the old school. He's gone young on the staff several times now in an effort to improve recruiting and help recruiting. That's great. Recruiting's big. It's huge, no doubt about it. But you better also have some guys that know how this program's supposed to look. And I'd love to know who that guy is right now on the staff. It'd be real beneficial to evaluate the staff and find some guys that know how the program's supposed to look and bring them back. Because right now, the guys that are on the staff, they ain't cutting it. That's for sure.
Into that logic, and I don't want to overreact too much in the moment. This has been a bad year for Alabama. There were signs that this was not going to go the way that they were going to go. And even last year, right? We thought, Alabama looks vulnerable. They were still a national championship game because they found a way with their backs up against the wall. Remember, they had to go in that crazy comeback against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Then they find a way to win the SEC championship game where they take it to Georgia. They win their first college football playoff game and they lose the second one. And that was the national championship to Georgia. And Saban after that game said rebuilding. Now this offseason, Saban got frustrated because A&M was taking players from him because the NIL resources that A&M was utilizing, and he basically at a business event in Alabama for small business owners said, we need your help, and that's why that was his target audience when he went on this rant against A&M. It was calculated. Whatever he was bitching about, he wanted to happen to him. And you've seen some recruits get taken away from Alabama that they would usually get easily because of now it being a more open field because of NIL. Like I heard Paul Feinbaum say today, the one player that could have instantly changed this Alabama season, and he alluded to it being the money that he got. Feinbaum did one of those, you tell me, Stephen A. Smith, what the reason is for that, and made some reference to money, was Addison that ended up going to USC, the Blitnikoff winner from a year ago at Pittsburgh. Imagine, Hickey, if they had Addison at Alabama, when all we've talked about why Alabama has not been great this year has been because they don't have the same explosive wide receivers of years past.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the game, though. That's why NIL is great, because it's evening out the playing field instead of Alabama getting, basically a cycle of the best players every single year from high school going right to Tuscaloosa.
And we've seen NIL drive some coaches out. It's been speculated about Roy Williams. It's been speculated about Coach K. Maybe Jay Wright as well. I know that's a different sport, but under pretty much the same premise, college athletics, and it's in college basketball. It wouldn't shock me if Nick Saban maybe doesn't see the next 10 years of that contract and he only wants to coach for two or three more years. But with also how competitive he is and how hungry he still looks and how much he still wants it, I would think that he would find a way to adjust. Like, remember Coach K would never take one-and-done players. then started opening that up, ended up winning a national championship. I think with what Saban showed this summer, is he's ready to get everyone else to try to go all in on maximizing their NIL efforts, is what I would say on that. But would it shock me if he gets fed up and then walks away sooner than we would think? Probably not.
This sounds kind of like a cop-out. Like, I don't, like, is money really changing the way the players are listening to him? I don't think so, personally. I have a tough time believing that. It's Nick Saban. He still sells really well.
I would agree with
well.
What you're saying there.
And so it's just like, I'm not giving, like, there's no reason to give him an excuse because they lost two games.
When Alabama loses, the excuses do get a little bit ridiculous. They do. Because so many people were looking for them to, it goes both ways. For so many years, people were looking for Alabama to fall. So you get the side that rejoices that they're dead, the dynasty's over, which is a reach to say. And then on the other side, it's the people that were in that fan base that have been spoiled out the wazoo that they can't handle back-to-back years of not winning a national championship. And then it's, let's make excuses. Bama's not dead. If Saban's back next year, is anyone picking them to miss the college football playoff again? No. You're picking them to get back into the college football playoff. That's even with LSU looking like they're getting back in the right direction. That's even with Georgia now turning into a force. That's even with A&M going to have a full year of Connor Wigman. Tennessee starting to right the ship with only one loss on the year with Josh Heupel there as the head coach. And whoever else does make a jump. I think sometimes it's just, and I like McElroy. And you're talking SEC football. You gotta talk through all the possibilities of what's going on here. But I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't. And I'm going to assume that Nick Saban will be able to find a way to get his team back. Not going to be this year, but in the future.
You also mentioned the great coaches like Coach K, for example. Great job. Because he's someone who's adjusted to the landscape and has always managed to stay one step ahead. Nick Saban did the same thing. Like they used to win national titles with great defense and running the ball. Mark Ingram, you had Derrick Henry, and guess what? Once all of a sudden the rules and the way that they got beat was by air raid and kind of seeing how Hugh Freeze's Ole Miss teams gave him fits, he said, we need mobile quarterbacks in order to keep on winning. He did that. He's going to adjust. He may not want to adjust with NIL. Maybe that might be a little bit of a frustration for him compared to changing schemes and philosophies. He'll adjust.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll replay a chunk of our interview with Marcus Freeman when we come on back and also tell you whose stock is booming and whose stock is dooming in the closing bell.
Ready to pop the question? Let your love sparkle with Blue Nile. Blue Nile has helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. Their easy online tools will let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her one-of-a-kind engagement ring, the perfect ring to celebrate your love. Right now, go to BlueNile.com and use code RADIO to save $50 on your purchase of $500 or more with guaranteed free shipping and returns.
If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Earlier in the program, we had Notre Dame's head football coach Marcus Freeman join us after a huge win for the Fighting Irish up against the Clemson Tigers. I don't know why, Hickey, by the way. Whatever I just said coming back from break, it has activated the Siri function on my computer, and now it is saying everything typing up everything that I'm saying into my computer. So let me just X that out real quickly so it doesn't start repeating itself back on the air. But anyway, Marcus Freeman, the head football coach at Notre Dame, joined us earlier. Let's play a little excerpt from him, about a three-minute chunk on his program's big win up against Clemson. What does that win mean for your program in year one for you?
You know, I think it's just a belief in terms of what we're doing, a belief in who this new direction of Notre Dame football is about. And you know, we got a really good football team that hasn't always played well. And that comes from the top down. But the belief in terms of how good we can be should be there. And I hope that's what our players in this program get out of there, is that, listen, we got a long way to go. We're right in the middle of two mountains, but we're not the mountain that isn't good enough, and we're not the mountain that's the best team in the country. We're right in the middle, and we need to keep our head down and continue to work. But where this place can go is still upwards, and there's great places to continue to rise to.
You said the new Notre Dame football. How do you define what you expect that to eventually be?
You know, I hope it's a team that continues to reach its full potential. It has new leadership, right? Notre Dame football and the University of Notre Dame is special no matter who's at the top of the leadership. But, you know, with me being a new head coach, we had to really create a new foundation. And you can't just change head coaches and think you're going to pick up right where Coach Kelly left this program. Coach Kelly did an unbelievable job of building this place to where it needed to be. And so I had to come in and really kind of do it my way. And that meant we had to take some losses and really kind of figure some things out. And it starts with me trying to figure out what exactly is it going to take for us to have success this year. Every year it's going to change based off the talent and who you have in your program. But the foundation of being tough and the foundation of playing with extremely hard effort and really being a truly three-phase team is something that I believe in, and that's really going to take for us to reach our full potential.
Marcus Freeman here with us. We've been talking about your team overcoming adversity. Why did your group not succumb to the public pressure where everyone was writing you off after that Marshall loss and also the loss against Stanford?
Well, I told them this road to where we want to go isn't going to be as smooth as we ever expected. And I don't think any great accomplishment is as smooth as you expected on the front end. And when we view, you know, when I think sometimes when you daydream and see a national championship or you daydream and see yourself making a lot of money one day, you don't really think about the pain and the suffering you have to go through. And that's what I kept telling them, like, we're on this bumpy road, and we have to continue to decrease the size of these bumps. We can't lose to a Marshall. You can't lose to a Stanford. But there's never going to be perfection. And how do we decrease those small bumps is through very intentional hard work and having a sense of urgency to get these things fixed. And I told them, don't lose faith in what we're doing. But we have to fix this process, not just trust it, but fix it. And that's what has really happened from our coaches on to our players, that sense of urgency to correct our mistakes, to really be accountable for every action we have has really turned into some great results.
And we'll see how Notre Dame's going to end that season, but they're starting to end it on a high note. You'd expect that they beat Navy this upcoming weekend, Boston College the weekend after that, and then you got a big game up against USC Thanksgiving weekend. And if they can win that game, then you really build some momentum. We'll see what bowl game they go to, all that, heading into next year after you have a new head football coach, your defensive coordinator last year, now has his feet wet, and maybe Notre Dame gets back to that 1-2 loss kind of category that they've had so many years and even some undefeated years under one Brian Kelly. All right, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Ravens defensive end, the old fella who's still dominating, Justin Houston? He had a huge game on Monday night as he recovered recorded 2.5 sacks, 1 interception, and 2 tackles for loss in a Baltimore Ravens 27-13 win over the Saints. The veteran also had 3 quarterback hits as the Ravens defense held the Saints to just 48 yards. Give Justin Houston a stock up. In the association, Joel Embiid last night, Sixers get to 5-6 on the year. Suns, they get their third loss of the year. They fall to 7-3. Sixers get the win 100-88. Joel the process, Embiid 33 points and 10 rebounds, also had 5 assists. Give him a stock up. The Portland Trailblazers get a game-winning three last night at the buzzer by Josh Hart. They take down the Miami Heat 110-107. The Trailblazers are on a four-game win streak, and they are 7-3 on the year. Give Portland a stock up. The Boston Celtics last night, they just survive against the Grizzlies. Grizzlies go in 7-3. Celtics went into this game 6-3. Boston survives, and they win by 3. Jason Tatum in the contest at 39 points as he outduels Ja Morant with 38-9. Give Jason Tatum a stock up. Luka Doncic outlasts the Nets last night. Mavericks 6-3. Luka 36 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Give Luka a stock up. And one more in the association. Steph Curry. Warriors are 4-7. Not off to the best start in the world. They just beat the Kings 116-113. Steph Curry was on fire down the stretch in the final 5 minutes of that contest. Finished the game with 47 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Give Steph Curry a stock up. Jerry Jones is at it again. He was doing a little advocating for Odell Beckham Jr. I kind of like that thought, Hickey. Odell on the Dallas Cowboys. It makes sense to the Cowboys. It makes sense for Odell Beckham. It seems like that's a match made in heaven. Jerry Jones, Odell Beckham, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, all getting along. Maybe they'll have a campfire, gather around the campfire, another Jerry Jones sleepover, and have some milk and cookies.
Sleepover? Listen, Jerry, he's a good salesman. You get in that home, he sells you, and he wins.
What do you think the contract's going to look like for Odell? Is this a one-year deal wherever he goes?
I'd be shocked if it's any longer than that.
Well, maybe if you need to sweeten the pot a little bit. If you're a team like Dallas and maybe he's just playing you a little bit, Jerry's talking about you, maybe you got to give him a 2-3-year deal. I know it's a big risk coming off that ACL injury, but maybe that's the way that it goes down. But give a stock up to Jerry Jones. I love that he's played into this Odell stuff. I love our listening audience, but there's just some times when the listening audience is wrong and I'm right. Which college football playoff format would you prefer? 4-team playoff or 12-team playoff? 80% say 12-team playoff. 20% say 4-team playoff. The correct answer is 4-team playoff. So give a stock down to anyone that loves this 12-team playoff. Mark Zinno. Do you know Mark? Ryan?
No.
Oh. Okay. Mark is a talk show host in Atlanta. Does a lot of betting. Gives picks a bunch of different places. VSiN Live, one of them. He said 12 team is for losers and whiners. He is exactly right. Not calling you a loser or a whiner, but you know, you're a 12 team proponent.
We'll win in the end. That's all that matters.
No. You're going to say in a few years, oh man, jeez, should have just kept it at 4. And finally, Jonathan Abram cut by the Raiders today. According to ESPN, with Abram's release, only 11 of the 23 players drafted in 3 years under Mike Mayock, including 2 of the 6 first-rounders, are still with the team. Maybe you shouldn't have made the TV GM the GM. All the crazy things he would say on TV, and I liked Mayock when he was on TV, but all the outside-the-box ideas, he basically implemented that with the Las Vegas, Oakland, wherever you want to call them, Raiders. Stock down to the Raiders. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Did I get this right? That hot take Hickey's filling in for Amy Lawrence tonight? Well, you know what you do, folks.
That's right.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Give him a call tonight, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, and make sure you say, hey, hot take Hickey, how you doing? Want a lot of hot take Hickey drops tonight on that Amy Lawrence show that hot take Hickey's filling in for on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Blake Corum for joining us for the Michigan Wolverines. We're leading the Corum charge for the Heisman Trophy. Big thanks to Marcus Freeman and then Dwight Freeney as well. Each and every one of you. We out. Bye-bye. Talk mañana, everybody. Peace.
Ready to pop the question? Let your love sparkle with Blue Nile. Blue Nile has helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. Their easy online tools will let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's Bench Jewelers will then handcraft her one-of-a-kind engagement ring, the perfect ring to celebrate your love. Right now, go to BlueNile.com and use code RADIO to save $50 on your purchase of $500 or more with guaranteed free shipping and returns.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.